Well, welcome to the weekend and welcome to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Lee. I'm the teaching pastor at our Plain City campus, and I hope you and your family have had a very merry Christmas and just really enjoyed Christmas Eve services, whether you were able to attend in person or watch online. I just hope that, you've really experienced the joy that is the reason for the season, right? And that's Jesus. And so, but today I want to highlight and talk about really what we looked at last Sunday, where we were really kind of looking at this whole week has been kind of the family history of Jesus. Now, nothing like Christmas and the holidays reminds us of our families, right? When we get around one another, we can begin to see, there could be some craziness in our families. Maybe there's some crazy uncles, some cousins, aunts, maybe your parents are, just a little bit off. One of my favorite movies, Christmas movies, I don't know if I should say this or not, but Four Christmases. And I know there's a lot of things in the movie that, we don't need to pay attention to. But what really just is so funny about the movie is just the dysfunction in those families. It's two people that are dating, and they're both of their parents are divorced. And the kind of the whole idea is that they're doing four Christmases throughout the movie. And you just see one dysfunction after another. And so it just highlights that we all have that. And last Sunday, I talked about how, even though Jesus is perfect, the family he came into wasn't, that Jesus didn't come from a perfect family. His family history, as he entered into human history, wasn't perfect, even though he himself would be. And so one of the things I want to talk about today, real briefly, is one person that's mentioned in his family line, and that's Rahab. And so her name shows up in her story we see in Joshua. So let me read Joshua 2, 9 through 11, where Rahab is telling the spies, "I know the Lord has given you the land, the promised land, for the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and all and on the earth beneath." And you see Rahab professing belief in that God is the one true God. And I know he's given your people this land in Jericho. And then Joshua 6 tells us that Rahab the prostitute and her father's household and all who belonged to her, Joshua saved alive. And she lived in Israel to this day. You see, from the very beginning, God has been building a people from Adam to Eve and to Noah to Abraham to Israel. God's plan has always been about multiplication, legacy, and life. But along the way, God keeps doing something unexpected. He keeps including people we wouldn't expect. And one of those is Rahab. Rahab lived in Jericho. She was a Gentile. She had a very scandalous life. She was a prostitute. She was an outsider, both morally and spiritually, by every standard of the day. And yet, when Rahab hears about the God of Israel, she believes. She risks her life to protect God's people. She hides the spies in her house. She places her faith not in the walls of Jericho, but in the Lord who rules over heaven and earth. And when the Jericho walls fell to the ground, Rahab is spared. She is saved. And not only that, she's welcomed into Israel. She becomes part of God's people. And generations later, her name shows up in Matthew chapter 1, listed among the ancestors of Jesus himself. Listen, that matters. Because as I talked about on Sunday, the genealogy of Jesus is not a clean, polished family story. It's filled with scandalous women, failed kings, generational sin, and exile. And look what Matthew does. He doesn't hide the dysfunction. He highlights it. Why? Because the genealogy isn't meant to show us perfect people. It's meant to show us a faithful and perfect God. God accomplishing his perfect plan through imperfect people. And Rahab's story reminds us that God doesn't hide the cracks in our story. He fills them with grace. The Japanese art of kintsugi, maybe you've heard of that, it's where broken pottery is repaired with gold. The cracks don't disappear. They become part of the beauty, part of the story. And Rahab's past, it wasn't erased, but it was redeemed. And God used it to point forward to Jesus. And the good news is that same God is still at work today. Jesus came from broken people. He came for broken people. And guess what? Jesus came to redeem broken people. That is good news. That's what we celebrated at Christmas. You see, you don't need a better story. What you and I, we need is the right hero. And that's what we want to invite you to do is pause for a moment and reflect with God. That perhaps you can begin to pray, what part of your story are you tempted to feel shame about? But actually, could be the very places God wants to highlight his grace in your life. Maybe it's a failure, a season of regret, a relationship, a decision you wish you could undo. Don't rush past it. Hold it before the Lord. because the same God who redeemed Rahab's story is redeeming stories today. And he delights in using imperfect people like me, like you, like us. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are the God who redeems broken stories. Where we feel shame, remind us of your grace. Where we feel disqualified, speak your calling into our lives. Take the parts of our story we want to hide and use it to show your faithfulness and love. We trust you with our whole story. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you take a moment and why don't you pray?